So, this morning is Mother's Day. Last year, at this time, this very moment, I shared with you that Portal by Facebook had produced a new commercial. I don't know if you remember it from a year ago, but it was Neil Patrick Harris, and he was trying to get in contact with his mom through Portal, and she was with a whole bunch of other celebrity moms, and they were more or less making fun of their kids as celebrity moms. And it was lovely, and it was funny. Well, I have to tell you that Portal by Facebook has outdone itself, because there is a new commercial that started about 2 weeks ago, and it is just video images and white text on the screen. And they convey a collective gratitude for mothers. The text of this 30-second commercial is as follows. It shouldn't be possible to work from home and be the teacher and make the play dates and make the dinner and do the yoga and throw the parties and read the stories, all in time for bedtime. But right now, somehow, you do it. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day. Nice. I assume all the videos of moms doing all these things have been captured on Portal, and that gives me a little bit of pause, but still, nonetheless, it is a beautiful commercial. And in some ways, that commercial encapsulates what the scripture this morning teaches. Mothers will do whatever it takes to provide for their children. And this morning we want to spend a few moments considering the interaction between the Savior and a stressed mother. As we read and relate these verses, we can be encouraged by the response this desperate mother receives. It is a short but poignant story. No doubt true. I will start off by saying that even Jesus practiced social distancing. Before we get into the context in the text, we find that Jesus left the place where he was and he entered a home and he didn't want anyone to know it. Didn't want to be around people, didn't want to socialize. Couldn't do it, but tried. So now on with the text. Let me read verses 24 and 25. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence a secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. Verse 26, the woman was a Greek born of Syria and Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First thing we want to think about this morning is that a step of faith will challenge our persistence. This woman needed persistence to reach Jesus. She needed to overcome barriers. And as we read this passage, we can see that there are logistical barriers that this woman needs to overcome, and there are cultural barriers that this woman needs to overcome. First, the logistical. As I said, Jesus did not want the crowds to know where he was. And yet, this woman not only finds out that Jesus is in the general area of Tyre, of which Syrian Phoenicia was there, on the seacoast of the Mediterranean. She finds out where he actually is and immediately goes to him. I don't know how much connection, networking she had, but somehow she heard Jesus the miracle worker is in the neighborhood. Somehow she heard the one who heals the lame, the one who gives sight to the blind, the one who casts out demons is here. Well, where is he? And she goes. Somehow she hears and goes immediately. Well, I don't want to bother him. I don't want to get in his way. Maybe he wants to be alone. That brings up the cultural barriers. She was a woman, generally thought of at that time as inferior to men. That could have been a reason why she wouldn't go immediately. I'll let him talk to the men first. But nope, she goes immediately. Overcomes the barrier of gender. She was a Gentile, generally viewed at that time as unclean or ungodly or evil. We even have here in the scripture, the word here is unclean, evil, has an unclean spirit, has an evil spirit. Drive a demon out of her. That word evil would be what people would picture for Gentiles, for Greeks, for pagans. That they would be ungodly, that they would be unclean, that they would be evil. And then, the reason why she goes, her daughter has been possessed by a demon. Generally viewed then as now, as maybe you're cursed. Maybe God is not showing his favor upon you because you have an evil spirit in you. If God were on your side, you wouldn't be possessed by a demon. And yet, through all this, she still takes the step of faith and goes to where Jesus is. But that's not all the persistence. Once she gets there, she doesn't wait for her opportunity to speak. She doesn't wait to catch Jesus' eye. She doesn't wait till Jesus says, "And young lady, what are you here for?" She takes the initiative. She begs Jesus for help. In a parallel passage, Matthew 15, verse 22, we hear what she actually says. "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." And do you know what Jesus does? Nothing. Nothing at all. To the point where the disciples tell her, Jesus, send her away because she is just the worst. Send her away. Matthew 15:23 says. But she is not going to leave without resolution. So let us be reminded by this faithful mother what persistence can do. And as we face the crises of our lives, let's take a lesson. Let's learn a lesson from this mother and say to ourselves, I am not going to give up until I know Jesus hears me. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop reading his word. I'm not going to stop crying out. I'm not going to stop telling people what I need, what I'm expecting God to provide, what I know God can offer. The second thing we see here, not only is a step of faith, will it challenge our perseverance, but a step of faith will channel our humility. Verse 27. Well, the second half of verse 26. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. And Jesus says, first let the children eat all they want, for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. And she says in verse 28, yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She understood who Jesus was, and she understood who she was, and she rightfully practiced humility. She immediately channeled all her humility to the point of being heard. She understood who Jesus was. She took a posture of submission and servitude. She falls at his feet. Now, there are two things that this represents. One, she could have fallen face first onto his feet, which would have been a posture of worship. Bowing down, face to the ground or face to their feet, worshiping. And that might have been what she did. The other possibility is that she fell and sat at his feet. We see this from Mary and Martha, whichever one it was, sat at Jesus' feet. That is the posture of a disciple. That is the posture of a learner. I want to hear what you have to say. And so I will sit here quietly and listen to you sitting at your feet. Now, either one of those is true. Either one of those is possible. And it doesn't necessarily have to be one or the other. I personally think she fell upon his feet and didn't sit at his feet, but actually was in a posture of worship. But it was a posture of saying, you are above me, are beyond me, are able to provide what I cannot, whether it's through your teaching or through your greatness. We also know that she understood who Jesus was by her phrasing. She calls him Lord. Which you would think, that's no big deal, really. Until you realize that this is the first and only time that anyone other than Jesus uses this term for Jesus in the book of Mark. The only time. Mark uses other terms to describe who Jesus is. But no one ever else calls him Lord, Master. She sees Jesus as the one who is in control, the one who holds all the cards, the one who is sovereign over all things. And it might be enough to say we understand who Jesus was, but this woman also understood who she was. She understood her surroundings. She knew that Gentiles were seen by the Jews as feral street dogs, scavengers, wild beasts that roamed the streets looking for something or someone to take. But she also took note of what Jesus actually says. There's a couple of terms here that we need to consider. She says to Jesus, she goes to Jesus because she wants Jesus to cast out a demon that her daughter has. And then when Jesus talks to her, he says, it's not right for the children to eat. First, let the children eat all they want. For it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Literally, the same phrase is there. To cast out. You're asking me to cast out a demon? You're asking me to cast out, throw out, spread the bread that belongs to the children. This term cast out is both for the demon and for the bread. What I have to offer is the bread of life. And you want me to cast out this demon, but that's the same thing that I'm here to do for the people of Israel. The second thing that we need to understand is that when Jesus refers to her and Gentiles as dogs, I've been trying to figure out what the best phrase is. And I think what the best phrase is house puppy. Fur baby. Not a beastly scavenger, but a beloved pet. Someone she hears, Jesus certainly could have used the typical term for Gentiles, but he doesn't. He stays true to what is culturally relevant, but he changes the term to say, you are still within the house. You are still here. And what we cannot understand in this terminology is what Richard France says in his commentary about this passage. Written words cannot convey a twinkle in the eye. And it may be that Jesus was jocularly presenting her with the sort of language she might expect from a Jew in order to see how she would react. Don't come around here, ya dog. A little finger gun. And she reacts appropriately. She knew she wasn't a child. It's also interesting here the terminology that Jesus uses and she uses. Jesus uses a phrase for child or children, the word technon, which is progeny, which is children by birth, family. It's not right, it's not proper for me to cast out the bread that belongs to my family. And she uses the word paedion, which is not so much child relating to family as child relating to age. That's true. But everyone knows that whoever has a toddler knows that more food ends up on the floor than in their face. And that's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking for you to throw the bread, give me an extra dish, consider me at the table. I recognize that I am under the table. But that's enough for me. And so let us be reminded by this faithful mother what humility can do. That as we consider the crises that we face, as we consider the requests we ask of God, that we might understand who God is and understand who we are and be satisfied with what God provides and not demand what we think we deserve. Last thought. A step of faith will challenge our persistence. A step of faith will channel our humility. And a step of faith will change our future. Somehow, this woman heard what Jesus could do. Something compelled her to seek out Jesus despite the barriers. And it's likely that she heard accounts of healing and deliverance. She also understood what Jesus had said. He had said that it is proper for the children to be provided for first. Family first. He said that it is not proper for God's provision to be thrown onto the floor. But she also knew that he never said that she would go without. First, let the children eat. Now, saying first, let the children eat means there is a second. There is a then. And as we've already said, she understood and accepted what Jesus had offered. She trusted that the crumbs of the abundant feast would be satisfying. Not just sufficient, but that the crumbs that fell off the feast table were satisfying. And she trusted that whatever the Lord supplied would be sufficient. And that trust was seen by Jesus. For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. The account in Matthew 15 says, for such a faith, your daughter has been healed. But Mark simply says, for such a reply. For such a word. For such a report, the content of which is based on faith, you will receive all that you desire. And that trust delivered and healed her daughter. So let us be reminded this morning by this faithful mother what a genuine faith in Christ can do. We're focusing our thoughts on this interaction today because it's Mother's Day, but it applies to us all. We can be like this Syrophoenician woman by living out our faith with persistence and humility. And all of us can use the reminder of what a step of faith can do. Our sermon in a sentence is this: one step of faith could enable Christ to change the future for many. This woman, her life was changed for sure. But her daughter's life, her little daughter, who by the time she gets there, one last little word reference, she is cast upon her bed. She's thrown to her bed, the same term that casting out demons, casting the bread, casting out on her bed. That she was thrown to her bed. She falls to her bed. Delivered. Maybe she becomes a mother. Maybe she shares the story. Maybe she, in her village, is shown and told of by others. That woman has a daughter. She was delivered by, do you see that girl right there? She used to be demonic. She was a terror. Goodness. No playdates with her. And then her mom went to see Jesus. And look at her. Wow. Perfectly behaved. Sits in the Zoom call. Quiet. Nice. Who'd have thunk? One step of faith could enable Christ to change the future for many. We can all be encouraged to be persistent in our approaching the throne with confidence, as Hebrews 4:16 tells us. We can all be hopeful as we consider who Jesus is. And we can all be certain that God will provide us with all that we need. That even a crumb of abundance is more than enough. I hope you believe that. That a crumb that falls from the feasting table is more than enough. One step of faith could enable Christ to change the future for many. Shall we pray?